Amen. And amen. What a great line that was you just heard. You never gave up on me. You are my rescue story. I am so glad that we serve a Savior who never gives up on you. Even when you go to the far country, the Bible says He won't ever give up on you. Even if you have never met Him before, He's never given up on you. Or maybe you have, and you've decided to wander astray. He's never given up on you. And His arms and His hands are open wide. He wants to be your rescue story. For the unbeliever, He is your rescue story. For the Christian, He is your rescue story. We'll be in Luke today, 15. And as we are going to Luke 15, you can find Luke 15. It's right before Luke 14. Jim French, would you pray, please, as we get started? As I was thinking about and praying through what we were going to talk about today, my mind just kept going back to last week with DeLance Griffin, and I hope that you were here to hear his testimony of how he had tried just about everything in life, trying to find peace and happiness and contentment. And yet we know it only brought him discouragement and despair. And I got to thinking about that. And today I want to, the message is, I thought would be appropriate to kind of piggyback from last Sunday, if you would. And I want to preach on today the parable of the prodigal son and the parable of the loving father. And I want to kind of hopefully be able to tie DeLance's testimony in there with it. Because DeLance's testimony from last week is a physical picture of the prodigal son. And what happened to DeLance and what happened to the prodigal son was a result of a loving father. So my goal is to try to tie those in today and to talk about that. I know for the Wednesday night crowd, we looked at this parable a couple of months ago. I understand that, but I thought we're going to look at it again. I don't think you can look at it too many times because of the story that it has. Next week, we'll be back in Philippians, I hope. Philippians 3. So all you overachievers that want to read ahead, get into Philippians 3, and I won't tell you what verses, so you have to read the whole chapter, okay? So we get there. God is good. You know, I think there's three phases in the life of a born-again believer. And I think all three of these phases fit all of us. There is a rebellion phase, there is a repentance phase, and then there is a rejoicing phase of our life. And that is the title of the message: Rebellion, Repentance, Rejoicing. As we look at this parable here, starting in verse 11, let's read that and see what it has to say to us, okay? I want to start in verse 11, so follow along. He said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. The first phase, I think, of every born-again believer is the rebellion stage. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 and 11, it says this. It says, there is no one that is righteous. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. Every one of us at some point in our lives have been in rebellion to holy God. That could be before you were saved. Before you were saved, yes, you were in rebellion against God. We say, well, no, I wasn't. Well, I'm here to tell you, yeah, you were. Because the way you were living was sinful. And you were rejecting the call of God on your life. And that's the definition of rebellion. I am not going to do what God has asked me to do. But you know, sometimes even as Christians, born again, blood bought, sometimes we make bad choices in our Christian life. Sometimes we choose to step away from our faith and we choose to walk the path that the world would want us to walk. And in a sense, that too is rebellion. We can't get around it. We all have rebelled against God, and there's nothing that we can do about that except take it to the Lord. And I believe that is where Delance was in his life at one point. Delance was in rebellion. He didn't want to follow after what God had called him to do. This parable, the prodigal son, as I was studying this, I found out that to define the word prodigal means to waste. To waste. Think about that. The prodigal son was wasting his life. Wasting his life. And I think I could tell you with all honesty that a life that is lived without Jesus is a wasted life. If you're living a life and Christ is not your Lord and your Savior, your life has no meaning. Your life is being wasted. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, this prodigal son was living, and he wanted to live a wasted life. This young man, what does he do? He goes to his father and says, hey, give me my inheritance. didn't ask. Hey, Dad, what do you think about this? Give me my inheritance. That was not supposed to happen. I mean, the inheritance comes when dear old dad is dead. But he wanted it before. He wanted his money. He wanted his possessions. You see, his dad was kind of hard on him. His dad made him work. His dad held him accountable. His dad made him be responsible. And being a young man, he resented that. But I think more than just wanting his money and his wealth, the young man wanted freedom from his dad. He wanted to be able to live life however he wanted to have no one watching over him, no one have a say in his life, no one being able to do anything. He wanted free and independence. Man, how freeing that could be, how much fun that would be to not have anybody overseeing the way that you lived your life. So in verse 13, it says, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. He gathered everything up together. The father sold what he had, gave it to the young son, and over a period of time gathered everything up and went to the far country. As I was kind of looking at that, it came to mind this picture. And for some of us who are at least 60, you'll probably understand what I'm talking about here. There was an old TV show called The Beverly Hillbillies. You remember that? Man, I remember it, okay? And you know, you had Clampett there. You had the dad, Clampett, you know, and what did he do? He struck oil, Texas tea, and he moved his family where? To Beverly. Beverly where? Beverly Hills. And there's a picture of him loading up this wagon and taking all of his possessions and stacking his stuff as high as you could get him. You've seen that where there's just one little wagon, but man, it must have been 10 or 15 feet tall, just trying to get everything on one wagon, one vehicle, and make it to California. And as I was re-studying, I go, that's what that sounds like to me. When this guy gathered up all his possessions and his money, and he must have had a big camel or something, and just took him, and he went to the far country. I can just imagine, free at last. Free at last. Thank the Lord, I'm free at last. Party time. I am free from underneath that hand of that my father. I can make my own decisions now. Life is going to be good. Yeah. And there he goes. And you stop and think about the dad selling what he had to sell to give to the son before the son really was supposed to have it. Knowing that the son was taking this and going to the far country, if you would. And he knew that he was going to mess it all up. How much it must have hurt the dad knowing that the son was, in a sense, rebelling against him. But you see, the dad loved his son enough, respected his son's decisions, that he had to let him go. He had to allow this son to choose his path in life, to choose what road he wants to take. And do you know we have a Heavenly Father that does the very same thing? We have a Heavenly Father that allows us to choose the direction we want to take in our lives. He does not make us serve Him. He doesn't make us love Him. He respects the decisions that we make in terms of, do we love Him and follow Him or we not? If we choose a life on this earth to be separated from Him, on this earth as we live, we want nothing to do with God. We you know, put our hand out there. God, I don't want anything to do with you. He'll respect that. Did you know that? And if you choose to do that over the course of your life, He will honor that for eternity. He will honor that choice that you make to stiff-arm Him for all your life. He will allow you to spend eternity separated from Him. If you don't want Him now, you won't want Him later. The father allowed this boy to choose how he wanted to live. And then in the last part of 13, it says this. He squandered his estate with loose living. I mean, he went over there and he partied all the time. You know, I think the guy was looking for something in his life, did you know? He had his money and had his possessions and he goes to this far country and he's looking for something. Yeah, he's looking for fun and excitement, yeah. But I believe he's looking for more than that. I believe he's looking for happiness. I believe he's looking to be self-sufficient. I believe he's looking to find acceptance. I believe he's looking to find love as he goes to a different area. I believe he wants something. He's looking for something in his life. And you can't find what you're looking for in the far country. Because you see, when you're like that and you're looking for happiness and you're looking for love and acceptance and all those kind of things, the far country cannot provide that for you. Because you see, the Bible says every person, Ecclesiastes 3:11, has a God-sized hole in their heart that only God can fill. The far country can't fill God-sized hole. Only Jesus can fill the God-sized hole. But today, what do? Today, we find people that as they look for this contentment and peace and love and whatever it is, many of them look for it in a bottle of alcohol to kind of numb the pain. Some of them will just smoke a little dope, get a little high so they don't have to remember what's going on. They inject their veins with something that's not going to be good for them so that they don't have to deal with life, and they just pull themselves away for a while. And all they're doing is trying to find some sort of a peace and a satisfaction and a contentment. And we know those things never do, because that's the far country. We know sometimes people say, well, let's just get married. I mean, I know I can find peace and happiness in marriage. Huh. Yeah, I mean, you can, yeah. But a few years, what happens? A little adultery here, a little fornication here, a little divorce here. And what you thought would bring you happiness doesn't bring you happiness. I mean, I got to have another spouse. Just go find another one that's a little better than the first one or the second one or the third one. And we try to find happiness there. Or we look for happiness in wealth and material possessions, bigger and better and shinier and brighter. And we know after a time, all those things do is rust, wear out, doesn't bring what it needs to bring. Today we live in a world where people want to change. People want to change, don't they? Well, I don't like the way I am. I think I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm a man, but I think I'll be a woman now. And I want to change, because obviously that has to be make me happy. Or I pursue the homosexual lifestyle, the lesbian lifestyle, the trans lifestyle, thinking that that will bring happiness to me. And yet we find that none of that will bring happiness, because all of that is in the far country. All of that is away from what Jesus said would find fulfillment. And this prodigal son, he was looking for all of that. People today is looking for all of that. Delance was looking for all that. And as Delance was talking about how he was living in that far country and he living away from everybody else, Delance came to the point in his life where he said, you know, I was just broken. I was just broken. I can't get over those words. Those words just kind of go. Psh, psh, psh. He was broken. And we live in a world where people are broken because they're searching for whatever they want to search for in all the wrong places. Because none of those will bring you happiness. The prodigal son was looking for happiness in the far country. But the far country did not deliver what he thought it would deliver. The world cannot deliver what he was wanting it to deliver. The Bible says he lost his money. He lost his possessions. He lost his self-respect. Well, that's not a good road. Bible says he lost his friends. When he ran out of his party money, his friends left him. Wow. Not very good friends, were they? You see, that's the friends that we have in this world. Bible says he was so poor, and the famine came. There wasn't enough to eat. None of that was going on. He had to get a job. Something he did not want to do for his dad. But he had to get a job, and he did. Feeding pigs down at the local slop house. That's where he ended up. And there he finds himself. Hungry. lonely, depressed, discouraged, hopeless. And then right at the end of verse 16, it says, and no one was giving anything to him. He was all by himself. You see, the world will do that to you. When you choose the path of the world, it will put you in the pig pen of life, where you will be hungry for something. You'll be lonely and discouraged and despaired, hopeless. Because that's what this world wants to do to you. The enemy says, do this, do this, do this, because it'll be good. And we know it never ends good. There's a saying that I like. It says, sin will take you where you don't plan to go. Sin will keep you there longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. You see, sin, pursuing a sinful life, never will end up good for any of you. The Lance found that out, did he not? He found out the far country led him to rehab, led him to jail, led him into brokenness and hopelessness. It will do the same thing to you, and it will do the same thing to me if you're not careful. The world can never fill the hole that we have in our hearts. Only Jesus can fill that hole in our hearts. Proverbs 14:12 says it this way. It says, there is a way which seems right unto man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right unto man. Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to live this way. I'm going to make these choices. I'm going to live my life how I want it to live. I'm going to take this road, and I'm going to be a self-made man. I'm going to make my own decisions, make my own money. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and nobody's going to stop me. I don't need God. I don't need God, don't want God. And the verse says what? And the end is death. Death is physical death, yeah. But that death that it's talking about in that verse is not just physical death. It is spiritual death. Being separated from holy God forever and forever. The far country is not where you want to go, because you'll never find life in the far country. DeLance learned that. The prodigal will learn that. You and I will learn that. The second phase that we see here, just real quickly, is the repentance stays. Repentance. Man, that's a good one, isn't it? Let's look at verse 17, 18, and 19. And it says, and when he came to his senses, that's kind of a cool line there. We'll come back to it in a minute. And he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough bread that I'm dying here with hunger? I will get up and go in my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired hands. He came to his senses. Life without Christ is dumb. Life without Christ is just crazy. Life without Christ is a worthless life that has no meaning and has no purpose. He came to his senses. So as he's sitting there in that pig pen, thinking about his situation, and he looks at his situation, but then a thought comes to his mind. And that thought was, you know, I remember how kind and nice my father was. I remember how my dad used to take care of his hired workers. How he always made sure that they had a meal to eat. He always made sure that he had shelter over their heads. He always made sure that they felt wanted. And one of the things of repentance is, yeah, you can think about your circumstances and your badness if you would, but one of the things that draws people to repentance is thinking about and knowing how good God is. Because you see, that's what he's doing here. He said, I came to my senses and realized my dad was pretty good. My earthly dad treated people really good. And I kind of want some of that. I kind of need some of that, he would say. So what does he do? He says, I got a plan. He says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just make me one of those hired hands, if you would. You know, I don't know how many times during the invitation time I have asked and said, come to the Lord. Take the step out of that pew and come to the Lord. The hardest step you'll ever make is that first step. I remember at the age of 12, as I sat back in that church in Northwest Classen, and I'm under conviction, and the pastor says, all you got to do is take that first step out. And I grabbed that back of that pew. It was a battle. I didn't want to take the step out. And I held on as long as I could, and that doggone pastor just kept talking about that. Step out of the pew and come. I will get up and go, the prodigal said. And he came to the father, and his plan was, Father, I have sinned. Father, I am not worthy to be your son. Just make me like a hired hand. What is he doing? He is humbly coming to his father, confessing his sins, humbly submitting his life to his earthly father, and says, I don't deserve anything, Father. I don't deserve anything. Just make me like one of your hired men, and I'll be happy. You see, that's repentance. That's when we humbly come to the Lord and said, I got nothing here, Lord. I have sinned, and I need forgiveness. Repentance says, I'm living my life going in this direction. And repentance says, I do a turnaround and I now begin to go in this direction. Repentance is not, sorry, Lord, I'd do better next time. That's not repentance. Repentance is changing the direction of your life and going the other direction. That's what this prodigal son was wanting to do, was to repent. Man, I was living here in the far country. I found myself in the pig pen. Forgive me, Father. I now want to be one of yours again. That's exactly what DeLance did. That's what the prodigal son did. That's what you and I have done. You see, unless you make a change in the way you live your life, it makes no difference what you say. It makes all the difference of what you do. I can say I'm changing my life, and yet I still live the same way. Yeah, I'm going to make Jesus Lord and Savior. But I don't ever do that. You see, true repentance comes, salvation comes when your heart has been changed. when you no longer want to live for the world, the far country, but you want to live for the Lord. That's repentance. That's when salvation comes. That's what this guy did. Third phase, real quickly, is the great one, is the rejoicing phase. The rejoicing phase. Starting verse 20. So he got up, there's a prodigal, and went to his earthly father. But while he was still a long way away, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And then the father stops him there. There was more to say, so the father stopped him. But the father said to the slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. Kill it. It's time to celebrate. What a beautiful picture of the earthly father and our heavenly father. Because I can just see this earthly father who has let his son go make his own path in life. And I just can't help but think he's sitting on the porch one day just looking out there. Looking and hoping. But doing more than just looking and hoping. I believe this guy, this dad, this earthly dad, I believe he'd been praying. I believe he'd been praying for that boy by the time he was born, probably before. And he's probably prayed for him every day since then. Pray. Probably prayed for him when the guy asked for his money. Probably prayed for him when he left. Probably prayed for him as he was gone. And as he sat on that porch and he prayed for that wayward son, that wayward daughter, I believe he knew that one day that boy would come back home. Why? How do you know that, Don? The Bible tells me that my God hears the prayers of a righteous man. If you have been born again and you are one of God's children, he has promised to say, I hear you when you call, and I will answer. That's good stuff. And I believe as that man prayed and time was going on and on and on and nothing and nothing and nothing, I believe that man put his trust in the Lord and he did not stand on his own belonging and his own thought process. But he trusted God that God was hearing and that one day God would answer that prayer to bring that boy back home. And I tell you that because I want you to know it. Because I know some of us in here might be in the very same situation. You might have a wayward child, a wayward somebody. And you've prayed. And you've just given up. God ain't going to answer that one. The prayer of a righteous man can availeth much. James 5:16. You keep praying. You persistently pray. You keep knocking on that heaven's door day in and day out for that child, that grandchild, whoever that is. You keep pounding heaven's door. And if you're a born again believer, God hears your prayer and he will answer that prayer in God's perfect timing and God's perfect will. You got to trust him to do that. And I believe that's what this earthly father was doing. And as he saw the boy coming from a distance, the Bible tells us, he got up from where he was and he ran to catch him. He ran to him. He was so excited to see his son. And he ran and he grabbed him and he held him and embraced him and he kissed him. And I imagine he did it again and again and again. I imagine they were just crying because this boy was now home. You see, the dad didn't run to him and say, where you been, boy? What have you been doing, boy? I don't like what you've been doing, boy. He did not criticize, judge, condemn. God's word says what? He had compassion for his son. I'm here to tell you, that's exactly what our Heavenly Father will do for you. when you go to the far country. When you take that step towards Him, guess what He's doing? He's running towards you. And when He catches you, He's going to put His arms around you, and He's going to hug you, and He's going to kiss you, and He's going to love you, and He's not going to condemn you. Your sins are forgiven. Now move on, He's going to tell you. And when that happens, when we allow God to do that, I'm going to make you feel accepted. I'm going to put a ring on you. I'm going to put a robe on you. I'm going to give you sandals, and we're going to celebrate. Because it is a huge deal when someone comes back to the Lord. It can't get any bigger than that. When a lost person gets Christ in their life, that is a huge deal. It's so big, the Bible says, they celebrate in heaven. Luke 15, verse 7, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. 15:10, in the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The greatest thing Jesus told us of this world is your name written in the Lamb's book of life. That supersedes anything that you and I can do. Any miracle, any preaching, any teaching, any giving. The bottom line is your name written in the Lamb's book of life. And when it gets there, it is party time in heaven. It is party time. Because you see, in that verse 24, there's a reason for the rejoicing. In verse 24, look what it says. He says, "For this son of mine was dead, and he's come to life." Hallelujah. He was lost, and now he's been found. And they began to celebrate. He was dead in his sins, headed for eternity in hell. And now he's been made alive in Christ. He was lost, living in the far country. And now he's been found, and he'll live with holy God forever and forever. That is enough to celebrate. That is enough to say, yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, that's party time. If the angels in heaven will celebrate your salvation, it should be the biggest thing that happens in this church when one does that. Beautiful thing. So I just think about Delance. He did that, didn't he? And then when he did that, there was celebration in heaven, dancing on the streets of gold. Obviously, there's a lot of Baptists there. Wait, we don't dance, do we? I'm thinking of it. That must be some of it. Must be the Mennonites or something. When you got saved, they were dancing in the streets. Because they know how great a thing that is to become a child of the King. It's no better than that. What can we learn from the parable? The far country of the world cannot give you what you're looking for. Will never give you peace, satisfaction, contentment. It'll bring you despair, hopelessness, and brokenness, like it did to Delance. But we've got a Heavenly Father that wants you to come to Him. We've got a Heavenly Father whose arms are open wide, says, "Come." And when you start moving towards Him, when you walk towards Him, He's going to be running towards you. And He's going to grab you and kiss you and say, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. Let's spend eternity together."
What a beautiful thought. As we begin our invitation time. Are you a prodigal? Are you living your life in kind of a wasted way where you don't put God in first place? Or have you been born again and you kind of wandered off a little bit thinking, I'm just going to sample some of this old world, see what it has? We got a beautiful eternal Father that says, come on back to me. Let's fix what ails you. I got the remedy for sin. And his name is Jesus. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, there's the invitation right there. If you feel something in your heart or in your gut, that might be the Holy Spirit. Whatever he's telling you to do, you do it. As the piano plays, you do business with God. Lord, I'm coming home. That's what that song is.